Well, folks, this morning we're going to press on in our series Lean as we look at another incident in the book of Matthew. We'll be in Matthew chapter 16, verse 5. So if you want to go ahead and start making your way there, that'd be great. And I just want to set the stage for us just a little bit about all the things that have happened up to this point. Jesus has been busy. He's been a busy guy. He's walked on water. All right, that's a busy guy. He's walking on water. We'll talk about that event next week. He's fed 5,000 men plus women and children. So actually, he's fed nearly 15,000 people in Matthew 14, in that event there. Jesus has been engaged in some hard teachings with the Pharisees. Now, I don't know if you've ever had to debate or stand up and defend your faith, but if you have, you know that's exhausting. That can take its toll on you. I don't know if you've ever been the focus, the target of someone's hatred, but that's exhausting. And he was the target of their hatred. He was also battling demons in spiritual warfare, something that's very real that we forget about in our society. We just forget about it in our churches. But spiritual warfare is a real thing today. It was a real thing then. Then he went on, he fed 4,000 men plus women and children. So that's about 12,000 people that he fed. So just wrap your minds around how many people he fed. That's like feeding WIU three times. All the students out there, roughly. Jesus has been busy. He's been preaching and he's been teaching in a lot of different places to a lot of different people. And his purpose is to open their eyes and their hearts to the kingdom of heaven. Listen, we must keep our focus on Jesus and not be distracted by the things under his throne. You remember last week we talked about the little nursery rhyme. Pussycat, pussycat, where have you been? I've been to London to see the queen. Well, pussycat, pussycat, what'd you see there? Well, I saw a mouse under the chair. Remember we talked about that last week and how we can be like that pussycat. We go to see the king and all we see are the distractions under the throne. We can't get distracted. We have to keep our focus on him because it really is Jesus who enables our eyes to see. It really is Jesus who sets our hearts on things from God, because we as believers could never understand God's will apart from Christ. He's the one who sets us on the right path. He's the one who gives us the ability to see the things of God. And that's why we must learn to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not on our own understanding, but in all our ways, acknowledge God and know that he will make our path straight. This morning, I want you to walk away with this understanding. If you don't walk away with anything else, when we lean on Jesus, truth is made clear. And we'll see that as we look at this passage this morning. As we lean on Jesus, truth is made clear. So if you have your Bibles, let's look at Matthew chapter 16, verses 5 through 12. I'll read, you follow along. When they went across the lake, the disciples forgot to take bread. Be careful, Jesus said to them. Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees. They discussed this amongst themselves and said, it's because we didn't bring any bread. That's what he's talking about. Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked this. He said, you of little faith, why are you talking among yourselves about having no bread? Do you still not understand? Don't you remember the five loaves for the 5,000 and how many basketfuls you gathered? Or the seven loaves for the 4,000 and how many basketfuls you gathered? How is it you don't understand that I was not talking to you about bread? But be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Then they understood that he was not telling them to guard against the yeast used in bread, but against the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. You see, when we lean on Jesus, truth is made clear. See, this whole passage is about false teaching. Jesus is telling you, you've got to guard against false teaching. So when we lean on Jesus, truth is made clear. However, when we're distracted, we can focus on the temporal, not the eternal. These disciples had focused on the temporal, not the eternal. Jesus' ministry is exploding right now, like we said. He's constantly on the move. He's proclaiming that the kingdom of God is near. And his disciples are right there with him, traveling all over the place. Now, I don't know how you guys are, but when we travel, and we travel quite a bit, we always make sure that we bring our provisions. Well, not we, my wife. She's the planned one. She's always making sure we have all the stuff we need when we go. And we travel quite a bit with our boys playing sports and our daughter in karate and stuff. So we always want to make sure we pack stuff with us. Our provisions are things like water bottles. I mean, you can buy a case of water for what you can buy three water bottles for at a game. So we take water bottles, we take Gatorade, granola bars, we take fiber bars for us old folks, you know. We need those. Sometimes sandwiches. We always try and bring extra socks and shoes. And if you don't know what I mean by that, I'll just let my kids air their shoes out in your vehicle next time, and you'll know what I mean by that. But food is usually a biggie. And just recently, one of our kids were in a tournament somewhere, and I noticed our conversation. We spent more time talking about what we were going to pack food-wise, what we were going to take with us, okay, and where we were going to eat, and when we would eat, and how it would all work out. We spent more time talking about that than we did where we were going, who they were playing, and what we were going to do as a team on all this stuff. So it's important to us in the 21st century. I mean, this is a big thing to us. But can you imagine how important it would have been to these disciples in the first century? I mean, unlike us, they didn't have a McDonald's or a Burger King they could just whip into, grab a bite to eat, and be on their way. They didn't have that. They had to plan. See, and their focus, as Jesus is telling them this, their focus had turned to the temporal, not the eternal. They didn't understand that Jesus was trying to warn them about something bigger than food for the body. He was talking to them about false teaching that would devour their soul. He wanted them to understand the truth of God's word so that their soul could be nourished. Now, if we're not careful, we can be pretty judgmental of these disciples. How could they not see what Jesus is talking about, right? It's so obvious. It's easy to criticize them until we take an honest look at our own lives. They were only seeing the physical, the temporal, much like we do. We really get distracted by that. They weren't yet keying in on the fact that Jesus was talking about something else, something much bigger than what goes on here day to day. This is how we can easily misunderstand or even misinterpret what God is saying to us through His Word, through prayer, through other people. But as we learn to trust in God with all our heart, as we learn to stop relying on our own understanding, as we learn to acknowledge Him in all our ways, we'll learn that He will make our path straight. The truth will be clear. It's not going to be easy, but it's clear and it's straight. As we lean on Jesus, truth is made clear. Look again at verses 8 and 9 with me. Jesus said, "You have little faith. Why are you talking among yourselves about having no bread? Do you still not understand?" The disciples weren't paying attention. You ever do that? I do that. I get told I do that. I'm fronted on, I mean, because it happens. There's times people are talking, I'm not paying attention. I'm not really hearing what's being said. I may be listening, but I'm not hearing. Or I may be hearing, but I'm not listening. I'm not really keyed in on what's being said around me. We do that. Maybe you get distracted. Maybe you don't pay careful attention to something someone said. How easily that can be in our prayer life. How easy that can happen in our Bible reading. If we're not focused, we can get distracted. I believe one of the greatest challenges for Christians is maintaining an eternal perspective while living in a temporal world. A professor of mine at Lincoln Christian University used to say, Dr. Bob Montz, he would say, it's vitally important that as a Christian, we be as heavenly minded as possible while being as earthly effective as possible. I agree with Bob. He went on to say that sometimes as Christians, we become so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good, or we can become so earthly minded that we're no heavenly good. There's a balance. We need to be heavenly minded and earthly effective. We need to have an eternal perspective. Perhaps if we remember this truth, we would have an easier time remembering our purpose on earth. You see, life isn't about accumulating money or power or fame. Life's about fulfilling God's purpose for our lives in order to bring glory to Him. That means we must focus on His eternal perspective. Now, the Apostle Paul explained this to the church in Colossae in Colossians chapter 3. When he said this, he said, since then, you have been raised with Christ. Here's what you do. So if you've accepted Christ, so I'm talking to Christians, I'm talking to Christ followers right now. He says, if you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above. Now, what he's talking about is the eternal things. Set your hearts on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. That's where Christ is. Keep your mind on the eternal. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Don't get distracted by the temporal stuff under the throne. Stay focused on the King who sits on the throne, the eternal. Now, although we live in a time now, although we live in time now, within the confines of time, God created us for eternity. Remember Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. We may live in time, but eternity must be the backdrop of our lives. So as we go through our day-to-day experiences, we have to live with eternity as the backdrop of our lives. So what is this eternal perspective? What is God's way? His thoughts, remember, are higher than ours. How do we have this eternal perspective? Well, an eternal perspective affects our priorities. An eternal perspective affects our actions. So here are some ways. This isn't exhaustive. This is not an exhaustive list. But here are some ways an eternal perspective impacts your life. First, you realize that suffering on earth is momentary. We're all going to go through times of suffering. We're going to lose people we love. They're going to die. That's a suffering. We're going to maybe be ridiculed for our faith, maybe. You know, we're going to experience some kind of suffering. But 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, the Apostle Paul tells us this, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. In other words, the things we experience here on earth, what they're doing is they're shaping us, they're preparing us for eternal life. Second, you'll find it easier to love others when you have an eternal perspective. You'll see people as having a soul, an eternal soul. And you'll start to see how each is in desperate need of knowing God and experiencing His grace and His mercy. When this is at the forefront of our mind, it helps us to extend love and it helps us to extend mercy to those around us. The way we relate to others is inevitably influenced when we believe that eternal life or death hangs in the balance. Paul again in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18 says, all this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We're therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. It starts with our reconciliation to God. And once we're reconciled with God, and we have an eternal perspective, our focus, our purpose, is to be ambassadors so that others may be reconciled to God. Here's the third thing. You have nothing to fear. We've talked about fear. We've talked about worry the last couple of weeks. Listen, when you have an eternal perspective, there's nothing to fear. I mean, not even fear itself is anything to fear when you know Christ, when you're leaning on Jesus. People are afraid of many things. One of the things people are afraid of most is death. If we're going to be honest, we're afraid of death. There's a hint of fear. Listen, as a Christ follower, we should not fear death. Now, I'm not saying do something stupid, but I'm saying don't fear death. Death is a part of life. We know in our mind, everyone lives, everyone dies. It's sad when people die. That's a reality because we miss the body they lived in. We miss the relationship we had with them. That's understandable. But there's no reason to fear death if you know Christ. Because if you know Christ, you're going to be with Him in eternity. And that's what life is all about. We're sojourners. We're on a temporary journey through this world. So we have nothing to fear in death. Or we should have nothing to fear in death if we truly know Jesus and if He knows us. Don't let fear overwhelm you. Let me ask you this. I just want you to mull this over in your mind for a little bit. What's keeping you from having an eternal focus? Is there anything keeping you from having an eternal focus? In what ways can you reflect on God's eternal truths today? How will it change how you think and how you act? Remember, though heaven and earth pass away, God's truth will never disappear. Jesus explains to His disciples that He can take care of their physical need of bread, you know, wanting them to not focus on the temporal. He's wanting them to focus on the eternal. He even reminded them how quickly we forget how Jesus took care of the physical needs of others. Two different occasions. He fed 15,000, 12,000 people on two separate occasions, and they're worried about bread because they're focused on the temporal. But what He wants them to do is to focus on the eternal, knowing that when we lean on Him, truth is made clear. There's something else that happens when we get distracted that we see in this passage. When we take our eyes off Jesus, when we get distracted, we buy into the lies of the world. We buy into the lies of the world. If we're not careful, we will miss one of the key elements of this entire passage, and that's the reference to yeast. May not seem like a big thing, but yeast, all throughout Scripture, yeast is almost always symbolic of sin. And this is what Jesus is really wanting them to focus on. The false teachings of the Pharisee. Like yeast, which permeates the whole lump of dough, sin also will spread throughout an entire person, or a church, or a nation. Eventually, it overflows and overwhelms and brings its people into bondage, which leads to death. And remember what Paul said about sin? He said, the wages of sin, the working for your earnings of sin, is death. But there's a free gift of God that is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. This is God's judgment for sin. Death is God's judgment for sin. And this is also the reason that Christ came and died, to provide a way out of this judgment for man, for man's sin, if he'll repent and he'll accept Christ. And if he'll have his heart changed so that he can conform his life to what God commands. Whenever a little bit of sin in a person or a church is permitted, whenever it's overlooked, whenever it's compromised, it works a lot like yeast in bread. It will eventually leaven the whole lump. What it does is it affects the whole church. It affects the whole world. It affects the whole person. When sin goes unchecked, it will lead to other sins and will eventually draw a person or a church completely outside the will and favor of God and of our Savior Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a real hard question. I want you to really wrestle with this. Examine your life. Are you introducing yeast into our church? Into our community of believers. If so, repent of it. Get rid of it. See, you're not an island. You're in community. And when we're in community, what you do impacts the rest of us. I heard about a church this week, and we're going to pray for this church in a minute. But I heard about a church this week that's encountering this very thing. Now, the elders are leading according to God's word. They really are. They're standing up strong on the Word of God. But there are people in the church who are attacking the elders, and they're saying, they're just a bunch of old guys stuck in their old ways. That's not true. They're a bunch of godly men standing on the Word of God is what they're doing. But there's a group of people in this church wanting to overlook a very specific sin. And I'm not going to go into the sin, not because I'm afraid, it's just we don't have time. But they're overlooking, they're wanting the church as a whole to overlook a specific sin. They're wanting that church to embrace it because the world has whispered a lie into their ear and they've bought it hook, line, and sinker. Paul warned Timothy. He said, Tim, got to guard yourself because there's going to be a time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they'll gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. Itching ears is a figure of speech that refers to people's desires, their felt needs, their wants. It's these desires that impel a person to believe whatever he wants to believe rather than the actual truth itself. When people have itching ears, they decide for themselves what's right or wrong, and they seek out others to support their notion. Itching ears are concerned with what feels good, with what's comfortable, not with the truth. After all, truth is oftentimes uncomfortable. If you've ever had to stand up for the truth against those who don't want the truth, you know it's uncomfortable. Paul's warning is that the church would one day contain those who only open their ears to those who would scratch their itch. And in today's postmodern church, we see many, many walking away from the hard truth, the absolute truth. Some churches that once preached sound doctrine, which sound doctrine is preaching the Word of God, some churches that preach sound doctrine now teaches acceptable the very evils the Bible condemns. Some pastors are afraid to preach on certain passages of the Bible. And those who do are often labeled as haters. Listen, hate is denying the truth that can bring freedom to a person's soul and saying, go to hell. That's hate. Love is having the courage to stand firm on the Word of God and declare it unashamedly so that others can hear the Word and have a chance to respond to the love of Christ. Paul tells us in Romans 12, 1, he says, don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world. The world should not change the teaching of the church. The church should be a cause for the world's teaching to change. But when we're not focused on Jesus, we can buy into the lies of the world. Paul told Timothy the remedy to this problem. Here's the remedy. He said it in the same letter in 2 Timothy 4, 2. He said, preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. It is a solemn charge made in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead. And in view of this appearing and his kingdom, and it contains all the elements needed to combat the temptation to scratch itching ears, preach, correct, rebuke, and encourage. We stand on the Word of God and allow his Word to be the truth. And as we lean into Jesus, truth is made clear. I said we were going to pray for this church. I want to do that. And then I got one final thought to wrap us up this morning, but let's pray. Father, I do want to pray for this church. Doesn't matter what the name is, doesn't matter where it's located, but we know it exists and there are many more that exist like it. Where leaders are trying to stand on the Word of God, and they are. And yet there's false teaching trying to work its way in, to be that yeast. God, we pray against that. We pray that there would be a repentance in the hearts of those who are trying to falsify your truth, your word. And God, we pray that these elders, these men will stand firm and allow your word to reign supreme. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Folks, I have one final observation. And that's this: when we lean on Jesus, truth is made clear and our faith grows. That's the whole point of what we're talking about, growing our faith. We are commanded in Scripture to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 2 Peter 3. This growth is spiritual growth, growing in faith. At the moment we receive Christ as our Savior, we're born again spiritually into God's family. But just as a newborn baby requires nourishing milk for growth and good development, so also a baby Christian requires spiritual food for growth. Like newborn babies crave pure spiritual milk, Peter said, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good, milk is used in the New Testament as a symbol of what is basic to the Christian life. But as a baby grows, its diet changes. It starts to include solid food. Now, with this in mind, read now how the writer of Hebrews admonished the Christians. In fact, he says, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. The Apostle Paul, I'm not going to read it for you, but the Apostle Paul shares the same concern in 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 3, to the church there in Corinth. For a human baby, growth is natural. They're dependent on their parents to feed them. For a spiritual baby, you and me, growth is up to us. There are Christians who have been saved for many years, but spiritually, they're still babies. They won't learn. They won't study God's Word. They cannot understand the deeper truths of God's Word because they're not in it. Much like our disciples who thought Jesus was talking about bread when in fact he was talking about guarding against the false teaching that comes from the lies of the world. A Christian wanting to grow in their faith needs a steady diet of the Word of God so that they can be transformed by the renewing of their mind. The truths taught in the Bible are rich food for Christians. Peter wrote that God has given us everything we need for life through our growing knowledge of Him. So imagine, just for a moment, what your life would be like if you were completely focused on God. Imagine living with an eternal perspective and not a temporal focus. Imagine living under the truth of God's Word instead of chained to the lies of this world. Imagine growing in your faith every day as God desires for us. Imagine living a life where you trust in God with all your heart and you lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways you acknowledge God and trust that He will make your path straight. You can, because when you lean on Jesus, truth